Well, I got a question just to get us going this morning. What is the first thing that comes to mind for you when you think about prayer? Honestly, for some of you, it's food, right? Because growing up or in your life right now, that's the main time that you pray, right? In fact, maybe you had a line that you said growing up every time. Let's even try it right now. God bless this food to thee. There it is, nourishment of our bodies. Or maybe you think of a pastor, a priest, or church, because that's where you normally encounter and hear prayer in your life. You get it directly from the professional Christians who know how to pray, you know? Maybe that's what you think about. Maybe you think of sports. Some people really, that's what you think about sports, when, you know, pregame end zone prayer time that your team does, or that ritual, you know, before the at-bat, like, you know, this, that, and the other, and it's like, now I'm gonna hit a home run. Maybe it's superstition that comes to mind. And people have a lot of superstitions, and maybe prayer feels like that to you, the idea that if you pray the right words the right way enough times, then good things will happen. So maybe those are the things that you think about. However, I know for some of you in the audience, what you really think about first when you think about prayer is actually this.
Supper's ready. Come on, y'all. I've been slaving over this for hours.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger.
Shake and bake, baby, shake and bake. I mean, regardless of what the answer actually is, what you think about prayer or how you feel about it or what your experience with it is, I bet there's one thing that we all have in common, and that is that I bet we have all at one point, maybe even right now, wondered about this question right here. Does it work? Does prayer work? Like, I know people pray, people talk about prayer, you should pray, does it work, though? And the reason we've had that question is because we've been told that it does. You know, there's sayings like the power of prayer, and people get like me get up and say, you should pray, it should be a part of your life, and it's a fad in a lot of ways, and it's very popular in our culture right now, and spirituality and prayer is, but I think we've all had in common the question, does it work? Because not only have we been told it works, I bet perhaps many of us have heard or even seen ourselves instances and stories of prayer working. Like maybe you have that grandmother in your family like I do, or someone in your family who when she prays, stuff happens and everybody knows it. You're like, if you need prayer, you're calling that woman because she's got the direct line to Jesus, you know? Or maybe it's a Christian you know that you've seen pray and they are so good at praying, like even atheists say amen at the end of their prayers. You know, they're like the Chuck Norris of prayer. And you're like, dude, those prayers work, right? Or I don't know, maybe you simply just heard stories that people told of times that they prayed and their prayers seemed to be answered. Like, here's an example. Early on in East Cobb Church's history, we were doing a food drive for Must Ministries. This was during COVID or in the end of COVID. And we had a girl on our staff who, in our prayer meeting, we pray every couple weeks all together. And she said, I'm praying that we get a ton of food. And I'm like, yeah, it'd be great if God, you know, we just pray for a lot of food. And she's like, no. I'm praying for 2,000.00 pounds of food. That's what I want to pray for. And I mean, she didn't say 0.00, but she said 2,000 pounds of food. It's like, okay, that's a ton of food. But yeah, sure, let's pray. We gathered the food, delivered it, and they weighed it before we left. And it was 2,000.00 pounds. And it's like, Hey, I have another list of things for you to pray for. Get on it. That's all she does now. Just kidding. That's not the case. But maybe you've had that experience. I bet we've all either seen or heard stories of prayer working. The only problem is for many of us, when we tried to do it ourselves, we didn't get the same result. Like we didn't feel anything. It didn't change anything. And as a result, we lost confidence in it. Like, I don't know if it works. Or maybe you stop praying. Not really a big part of your life anymore. Or never was. I don't know. Or worse, I've been here. Maybe you started to wonder if anybody was even there. Well, that's the question of this series. Do your prayers work? Do your prayers work? Do your prayers bring you closer to God? Do they impact your life in any way? Do they move things in or around you? Do they feel intentional and consequential, or do they just feel like words? Like words bouncing off the sky and you're like, I don't even know if they're going anywhere. Most people pray. Most people pray. Even surveys tell you this. Most people pray. Almost 70% of the people in our country say, yeah, I pray. But few are confident that their prayers are working. And I think that's a shame. That's so sad because we want our prayers to work. I mean, if God is there, we want to connect with him. We want to experience him like for ourselves, not just listen to other people experience him. We want to hear from him. We want to feel confident that our requests matter to and move God. And we want our prayers to work. So I ask you again, do your prayers work? And if not, do you want them to? Do you wish that they did? Well, if so, I want to let you know, you are in good company. You are not alone because Jesus' closest followers, his disciples, as we call them, evidently felt the exact same thing because there was this moment recorded in the scriptures and the gospel narratives where the disciples said, Lord, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? And the puzzling thing about this request is really this word right here, teach us, because the us that they're referring to was them. They were Jewish men, young men. They knew how to pray. They grew up praying. They had memorized multiple prayers. But for some reason, these guys are asking Jesus, hey, can you teach us to pray? Why would they ask that? Because they've been watching him pray every day of his life. And what they saw when Jesus prayed was not what they experienced when they prayed. They're watching Jesus pray and they're like, his prayers have authority. His prayers, they have like intimacy in them. There's like intimacy with God there. His prayers are effective. His prayers, I mean, they just work. They just work. And so they say, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And Jesus said, I will. I would love to. And I'm telling you, what he taught them after that, the very next lines in the Bible, I think is a game changer for every single one of us. I truly believe this. I think it could be a game changer for every single one of us, no matter where you are spiritually. Like if you're someone who's wondering, God, are you even there? Is God really even there? I'm telling you what Jesus taught them is for you. This is how you could test that out and see if he is. If you're someone who's a Christian, but you're like, I just never really had my own experience with God. I kind of like to. It seems like other people experience him. How can I experience God? I'm telling you what Jesus taught them is for you. If you're a longtime follower of Jesus and your desire is you just want to follow him more deeply and more radically with everything that you got, this is your invitation. An invitation to try praying like Jesus prayed and see what happens. Try praying like Jesus prayed and see what happens, because there is a way to pray that works. There is. And I'm telling you this from experience. What Jesus taught them, man, it's changed my life. It has completely changed through years my relationship with God. I mean, it's not just an on-ramp if you're looking for God. It's the highway if you're looking to walk with him. And it's changed my life. And I want, and more importantly, Jesus is inviting you to experience it for yourself. So that's what we're going to talk about today and for the next 3 weeks, but specifically today, we're going to listen in as Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, how to pray in a way that works. And what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't actually start by telling them what to do. He starts by telling them what not to do. He starts by dislodging two misconceptions about prayer that I would bet a lot of us have. He starts by dislodging two types of prayer that most of us grew up praying. And his purpose is to dislodge those in order to install something new in their lives and in their prayer lives. And this is what he says. He says, and when you pray, let's just get some ground rules first. Let's talk about what not to do. When you pray, do not. Don't do this. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing where? In the synagogues, in front of everybody, and in the street corners. And here's their motive. They're doing that to be seen by others. Like, whoa, that was good. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. In other words, this. Oh, amen. Whew. That's all they're going to get from their prayers. So number one, Jesus tells them, hey, prayer is not a performance. Prayer is not a performance. It's not about saying big or holy words to impress God or other people. Jesus says, no. In fact, if you want to pray prayers that work, go pray in private. That's where it starts. Go get in your room and begin there. But then he goes on, he says, also, when you pray, here it is again, do not do this. Don't keep on babbling like the pagans. So these are the non-Jews, the Greeks, and in their temples, they would just pray over and over and over and over again, try to find just the right words said enough times and maybe persuade the gods to do what they want them to do, and they would just pray over and over and over and over. Most beautiful, powerful, like perfect words. And he's like, hey, don't do that. Don't pray like that. Because, and here's their faulty premise, is they think that they're gonna be heard because of their many words, that this is what prayer is about. Don't be like them. For your Father, he already knows. He's got it. He knows what you need before you even ask. Isn't that wild? So Jesus says, hey, number two, prayer is not about persuasion. Prayer is not about persuasion. You don't have to inform God of anything. He already knows. And you don't have to convince him. He already cares. Check and check. He already knows and he already cares. So Jesus said, hey, you want to pray prayers that work? Don't spend a ton of time on that whole persuading God thing. He already knows and he already cares. Now, so right out of the gate, Jesus removes these two kinds of prayer. He says, let's just take away performative prayer and persuasive prayer. Just take those out. That's not how or why you pray. It's not it. So remove those. Now, to which the disciples are thinking in their heads, the same thing I think maybe many of you are thinking, like, well, shoot, that's like all of my prayers. That's like all the praying that I do. I'm either trying to impress God or I'm trying to convince God. And Jesus is like, nope. And they're left thinking, wondering, okay, if that's not the purpose of prayer, what is? If that's not prayer that works, then what is? To which Jesus, of course, replied, glad you asked. He says, this then, with those two things out of the way, this then is how you should pray. And what he gives them, you know. You already know, most likely. What he gives them is called the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer, very famous prayer, a prayer most of you are familiar with. You've heard that title. Many of you could recite it. Many of you have been reciting it since you were little. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus gives them. And it is a beautiful prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a holy prayer. One worth memorizing, for sure. But did you know, this might be a new fact for some of us. I remember learning this some years ago and didn't know it before. Did you know that that's not primarily how Jesus meant this prayer to be used? Meaning, did you know that the Lord's Prayer is not primarily a memory prayer? It's actually a teaching tool. In Jesus's day, rabbis would give their disciples or whoever was following them, it was a common practice that they would give them a prayer where every line was a category of prayer. And so the point wasn't simply to say each line. The point was to camp out on and explore each category. It's how you were supposed to pray it. It's kind of like weigh stations on the highway. You know how like trucks going down the highway every so often, they have to pull off, stop, and weigh in at a weigh station. That's what the lines of this prayer are a lot like. They're like way stations of prayer. They're like stopping points in prayer that you're meant to sit in and pray about until they become weighty, until they work. That's what these lines are. A.W. Tozier, I think, captured it really well when he anecdotally was asked by somebody in his congregation. He's a famous theologian and writer. He was asked by somebody, hey, how long should I pray, like when I pray? And I have loved his response for the longest time, and it's been so helpful for me in understanding prayer. He said, well, for starters, sometimes you got to pray until you can pray. You ever start praying and you're like, I'm thinking about everything but prayer. You're like, I can't even pray yet. Sometimes you gotta like warm the engine up, you know, you gotta pray for a second until you're like, okay, I've like centered myself and I even can pray to begin with. So I really appreciate him saying sometimes you just gotta pray until you can pray. And if that's you, don't get discouraged, just keep going. But once you can pray, here's the thing. Then you pray until you have prayed. That's how you know. In other words, it's not about time, it's about effect. You pray until it becomes weighty, until it becomes real, until something moves and changes and it becomes good. You pray until you've prayed. That's how you know. And this is what Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer. He gave us way stations of prayer that works. And then he invited his disciples and by extension, you and me, to weigh in. So this is how you pray. So now come on, weigh in with me and experience it for yourself. What I experience in prayer is available to you. So come weigh in prayer with me and see for yourself. And that's what we're talking about today. I want to go through the way stations of prayer that works. And the invitation on the front end is really simple. Weigh in, try it, see what happens. So here we go. First, Jesus says, the words many of us know, our Father in heaven, hallowed, consecrated, set apart, put above, hallowed be your name. And what's funny about this one is that a lot of people, they think it's the intro to the prayer. It's kind of like the bloop, 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 you're dialing the number. Hey, God, this is the intro. Like, that's how you start it. And I think Jesus would say, no, no, that's not the intro. That's the first destination of your prayer. Before you ask for anything, promise anything, confess anything, present your needs or wants, the first thing that you do anytime you pray, if you're going to pray like Jesus prayed, the first thing you do is you recognize and you enter into the relationship that you have with God. That's number one. For anything else. Which, of course, begs the question, well, what kind of relationship do we have with God? Like, what is, who is he to us? Is he a mighty ruler way up there on a throne? Is he a righteous judge that you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm standing with him, he's mad at me. Is he a Holy Spirit, mystical and behind their clouds and hard to reach? The Jewish boys that he was talking to, his disciples, they certainly felt many of those. That's how they grew up learning about God. The Greeks, of course, had a much darker picture. They believed that the gods were uncaring and capricious and seekers of pleasure and power. So you cannot overstate the importance of this moment when Jesus says, hey, you want to know how to pray? You want to know what you can call God? Do you want to know the kind of relationship that you are invited into that God wants to have for you, with you? And then he picks a word that nobody else would have picked. He picks a concept that nobody else thought was possible, Jew or Greek. He said, you want to know what it is? Our Father. Our Father. Like, yes, God is a mighty ruler. Yes, he is a righteous judge. Yes, he is a Holy Spirit. But more than all of those things, God is and wants to be your heavenly Father. He wants to be your heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul would take it a step further and say that the Spirit of God in you, when you put your faith in Jesus and the Spirit of God lives in you, it cries out to God and it calls him one word. It calls him Abba, Father. That's like a term a child would say, Dad, Papa. God, the relationship that you have with God or that he's inviting you to have with him is one of a father. And I know that that can be complicated, right? Because some of us had good dads, some of us didn't. And so it's important to say, Jesus is not saying that God is a reflection of your earthly father. That is not what he's saying. What Jesus is saying is that God is a perfection of your earthly father. He's the father that you were meant to have. And for some of you, he wants to redeem that word and that concept entirely in your life. But it's who he is. It's who he is. That's how he wants you to know, experience, and even enjoy him as your loving, perfect, heavenly Father. So, my friends, hear me, please. If you get nothing else out of today, this is the thing that I hope you'll get. If you forget everything or tune out or get on your phone, I mean, please don't. But if you do, this is the thing. Write this thing down. If you get nothing else, the purpose of prayer, The purpose of prayer is not your wants, it's not your needs, it's not making promises, it's not even confession, and it's not even praise. The primary purpose of all prayer is first and foremost fatherhood. That's it. It is you connecting in relationship with your heavenly Father. That's way station number one of prayer, and Jesus puts it first on purpose because it's the number one reason you pray. Jesus says, I want you to go camp out on, sit in for a moment, pray about, I want you to connect with your heavenly Father. I want you to connect with your heavenly Father that, like Jesus said, so that what he prayed for us in John 17 can happen. But Jesus says in John 17, he's praying for you and me, for everyone who's gonna come after his disciples and everyone who's gonna believe. He said, Father, will you protect them and like bless them and be with them? And here's the why I want you to do that for one single purpose. And he says this, I love this. He says that they, that's you and me, may be one as one with you, God, as we, that's Jesus, are one. That's my goal. That's how you pray. You start prayer not with requests, but with a relationship, not with a greeting, but with a connection. And that's Jesus' teaching, that every single time we pray, here's the goal of our prayer, every single time that we pray, you and I would initiate and experience and enter into union with God, our Father, in the same degree that Jesus experiences union with him in the Trinity. Isn't that pretty cool? Some of you, that's way more than you've ever thought prayer was in your whole life. And she's like, yeah, yeah. So that's how you pray. Or at least that's how you start. You start by praying, by diving into our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you can pray those words exactly. They're beautiful, wonderful, perfect words. But I'll give you a more colloquial, everyday version that I use a lot in my prayer life. When I start my prayers, I often pray this right here. God, you are my Father. Will you father me today? God, you are my Father. Will you father me today? But whichever one of those you say, the point is, don't stop there. This isn't just a line to repeat. It's a way station. So you got to weigh in. You got to lean in. And that's what I do when I begin praying, God, you are my Father. And most of the time, I just have to start there, just with that one sentence, because I don't know about you, I don't always wake up like just believing or feeling that God is my Father. Sometimes I don't even know where he is. That feels far away from me. Or sometimes I'm like, maybe he's mad at me. I don't know. Where do I stand with you? And so sometimes, I got to pray on it for a second because I don't wake up feeling it. God, you're my Father. But I got to keep praying, you know? I got to keep going. God, you're my Father. I just remember today, you love me. You died for me. Like you sent Jesus to rescue me. You lifted me out of a pit and you took me home to you. And before I woke up this morning, you were already here. And you love me. And you delight in me. Whew. And you had plans for me, like plans for my good. Before I even started thinking about you, you were already thinking about me this morning. And there's nothing I can do today to make you leave or love me less. I pray until I'm there, until I believe it, until I remember it, maybe even feel it. God, you're my Father. And then, would you father me today? Father, I need you. I need your leadership. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your affection. Would you father me today? Am I there? Yeah. Okay, I'm done. And usually by now in prayer, it's already been worth it. Like if that's all I do when I wake up in the morning, which is what I do and pray, man, most of the time it's already been worth it. My heart is already different. My outlook on my day is different. My outlook on my life and me is different. Why? Because I've spent time with my Father. And Jesus says, that's the first way station of prayer. Go connect with your heavenly Father. Go connect with your heavenly Father. How long? You pray until you've prayed. Pray until you feel connection. Reestablish connection. Initiate an experience and enter into connection with him. This prayer that works. And that prayer right there has changed my life. That kind of prayer has changed my life. It's revolutionized my relationship with God. Not all at once. But through time it has. And so, in fact, I figured Maybe we should just take a moment and try it. I mean, after all, we're in church. I mean, we're better to pray, you know? Felt kind of silly to have a sermon on prayer and let's not pray, you know? So I thought, let's try it. This is the first way station of prayer. Why don't we just weigh in for a second? So no pressure, you don't have to, but if you want, I'd invite you to join me in prayer right now. I'm gonna close my eyes. And I'm gonna lead us in just a quick prayer. I'm gonna lead you through how I pray about this. This is typical how I do it in the morning. But let's pray. And let's just start with one word. I just wanna invite you to start by saying, Father. Not God, not Lord, Father. Some of you have never called God that in your entire life. Turn that into a sentence. God, you are my Father. God, you are my Father. And here's one thing I do. Here, for just a second, I want you to imagine, if you would, him being right there with you. Because he is, by the way, we believe that. Like, he's here right now. He is with you where you are, right there, right now. I want you to imagine him being there, and I just want you to look at him. Like, look into the eyes of your heavenly Father. He's there right now. I wonder what you see. I wonder if you see his love for you. I wonder if you can see his delight in you. Oh. I wonder if you can see his grace that is enough for you right here, right now, no matter who you are. That's what I want you to sit in for a second in prayer. Add whatever words you want. God, you're my Father. You love me. You're with me, for me. Or if you find that hard to pray, you can tell him that too. That's totally normal. God, I don't even know if I believe this. It doesn't feel, it's hard. But let's sit in that for a second. God, you're my Father. Add your own words in prayer. And now those simple requests. Would you father me today? Would you father me this week? God, it's pretty awesome that it's true. Because of Jesus, you are our Father. And we just confess, we need you. Would you father us? We need your love, your strength, your guidance. Would you father us today and this week in Jesus' name? Everybody said, amen. So that is the first way station in prayer. It's prayer that works. Jesus goes on. He says, once you've done that, in light of that, in the context of who God is and who you are to him, next, I want you to pray about this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the key operative word here is kingdom. Kingdom. Jesus talking about kingdoms. Very familiar to them. They had a lot of kingdoms in their day. But a kingdom is simply a realm of rule and authority. And what he's referring to is the fact that you have, and I have, and each of us has, a kingdom. Not a throne that we sit on. Just a life that is ours. We have rule and authority over that God's put in our hands. Your kingdom is everything that belongs to you. It's your life, your relationships, your family, your assets, your house, your influence, your career, your aspirations, your potential, everything that you've got. That's your kingdom. And if we're being honest, most of our prayers are about it, right? Hey, God, will you bless my kingdom? Oh, no. Hey, God, will you fix this thing in my kingdom? Hey, God, will you push forward the boundary of this part of my kingdom, please? I need like a little boost. God, will you bless my kingdom, grow my kingdom? It's only natural. It's every single one of us. If left to our own devices, our prayers generally drift towards my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, oh God. Amen. That's me. I'm sure it's you too. Jesus is saying, hey, I want to invite you to change that up. I want to invite you to pray literally the scariest prayer you'll ever pray in your whole life. The prayer that gets scarier the more you have and the more you build. Jesus says, I'm inviting you to switch that and pray sincerely, God, no, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth and specifically in my slice of earth and my life and my world and my assets and my future and my family, just like it is in heaven. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And the reason we say just as it is in heaven is because in heaven, God's will is not debated, it is delighted in. When God says go, they go. When God says do, they do. That's how it happens. So what this prayer, this line that Jesus is giving us to not just pray, but pray about, dive into, it's a prayer that's saying, God, I'm giving you the keys to my kingdom. I am transferring all authority and all leadership and all decision making to you. I trust your will more than I trust mine. I want your will more than I trust mine. Why? Why would anyone do that? Well, because he's your father. That's why he comes after. In light of who he is and whose you are, now you pray this. That's why you would pray it. Like Jesus said, Jesus told us this. He said, here's this big purpose statement that Jesus gave us. He said, I have come. You want to know why I've come? It's really simple. That they, that's you and me, may have life, and not just any kind of life. You may have it to the full. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. God wants and has plans right now to lead you and your family into and towards life to the fullest. And the reason you would pray a prayer like Jesus is teaching you to pray is because you actually believe that. Because you actually believe, God, your ways are better than my ways. Your plan is better than my plan. God, your hands are the best hands in my life could be in. So here, that's way station number two of prayer. Jesus said, dive into that. Camp out on that. You can use his words. Oh, sorry, it's surrender. Just said that. When you pray, Jesus says, put your life, pray about putting your life in the hands of your heavenly Father. And yeah, you can use his exact words. They're beautiful and wonderful. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or you could use other words. Here's one that I, everyday way of saying it that I use a lot in my prayer life, in my day. Like when I'm praying in the morning, I say, Father, I give everything and everyone to you. Father, I give everything and I give everyone to you. I pray that. But whatever you say, don't forget, it's not just a line, it's a way station. You gotta like weigh in until it works, until it happens, right? So I'll pray that, but it's not enough to just pray that. I start like naming things. God, I give everything and everyone to you, and I pray about my God, I give my kids to you, and all the zillion things I'm worried about there and want for them, and all the things that they're facing. God, I just give them to you. God, I give my marriage to you and my wife and all of her endeavors and our home to you. God, I give my job to you. I give our church to you. I give the building that we're building to you. God, I give that meeting that I have today that I'm a little worried about. I just want to give that to you and its outcome. And God, I want to give that fear to you that you know I've been wrestling with. I want to give that to you and that opportunity that I'm chasing after. Father, I just give everything and everyone to you. But hey, let's be honest. A lot of the time, it's not that simple. A lot of time, it sounds a lot more like, God, will you help me surrender whatever to you? God, will you help me trust you with this thing? Because I don't want to. I mean, it's hard for me to give. I mean, I know you have the best for me. Like, I believe it. I'm a professional Christian, but man, it's hard to let it go. God, help me trust you with this. Will you help me trust you with this? I want to give everything and everyone to you. Help me. I pray that. For how long? Well, I pray until I've prayed. Until I'm actually surrendered a little bit more in whole or in part to God. And yeah, it's scary because it's really scary to give up control. But here's what I've learned through the years. I mean, easy to say, hard to do, but you don't need control if you trust who's in charge. So if you want to pray prayers that work, Jesus is inviting you to go and do the same. He's inviting you to go and do the same. Go surrender your will. Go surrender your will and do it until it works, until it begins to loosen your hands on your life. I'm telling you, it works. Every time I pray this, every single morning I pray this, every single time I pray this, I walk away different. I walk away more confident of whose hands my life is in. I walk away more committed to my Heavenly Father. And I just walk away focused on what matters most. Every single time, it's prayer that works. It's prayer that works. Camp out, dive into. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I figured we'd try it for a second. We're in church, why not? And so you don't have to, no pressure, but if you want, I'd love to invite you just to join me in another moment of prayer. Let's weigh in. And for this time, what I'd like to invite you to do is just to imagine something important that you are carrying right now. It's a responsibility, a pressure, a decision, an opportunity. I'd love for you just to imagine for a moment. Bring into view something you're carrying right now. What's the most important thing your hands are holding on to right now? And I just want you to imagine for a second, what do you think God would do if it was His? In fact, that's a good question to ask Him. What if you just asked Him right now in prayer, God, what do you want to do with this? Father, what do you want to do with this? This thing that I'm holding so tightly that matters so much. And now, if you want, if you're ready, give it to Him. Father, I give this to You. Pay attention to what's rising up in you. Is it peace? Is it relief? Sit in that. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Need to control? Go ahead and give that to God too. He can handle it. But just give it to Him. Father, we trust You. As best we can, we give everything and everyone to You. Because we're banking on and we're believing that You are going to give us life and life to the full. So we give it to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's way station number 2. It's a prayer that works. But then Jesus turns the corner and finally, the nerve, finally gets to the part most of us usually come to prayer with for in the first place. He says this. Now we're getting to what I was usually coming to prayer for to begin with. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I mean, these are 3 different lines, but I'm combining them all into a third way station of prayer. And it's this, that Jesus says, after you've connected your Heavenly Father and surrendered your will to Him, the next stop and the final stop is what you came here to be usually to begin with. And that is, you can ask away. In the context of your Father and His kingdom, now you're ready to ask. You're ready to ask. Why? Because when you ask, not only does it move God, yeah, all right, we already said, Jesus already told us this, God already knows and He already cares. So right about the time you say, our Father, He's already moved by your request because He already knows them and He already cares. However, that doesn't just move you. The point is, move God. The point is that it also, when you ask, it moves something in you. Let me show you what I mean. So like the first one that He says here is, hey, first, pray for your needs. Absolutely pray for your needs. Give us today our daily bread. Now notice He says daily. This is a daily prayer He's inviting you to pray. Not monthly bread, not lifespanly bread, just daily bread. You remember the concept? Have you heard the concept of manna? So is that the story in the desert when God gave the Israelites food one day at a time, and it was always only enough for that day. God is inviting you to daily dependence on Him because He has promised to meet your needs. Again, within the context of His fatherhood and kingdom over you, He's promised He's going to meet your needs one day at a time. God wants to move you to dependence, okay, by asking. Next, Jesus says, then pray for your sins. God, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, I want to be clear. God already knows about your sin. When you pray, He's not like, what? No, I mean, he already knows. And by the way, he's also already paid for your sin by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. So why is it that we pray about our sins? Here's why. Confessing your sin doesn't earn forgiveness. Confessing your sins opens you to the forgiveness that is already yours. So when you pray about your sin, not only does it lead you to repentance, like, hey, I'm gonna change direction, I'm gonna go do something different, but it also opens your heart to grace so that you can walk away forgiven, and here it is, you can walk away forgiven and restored to union with your Heavenly Father, which is the whole point. And by the way, not only with him, but also with those around you. Because he who has forgiven much, forgives much. God says, I want restoration to happen. That's the goal of this. I want it to move something in you. Then third, pray about your battles. Pray about your battles. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some people misunderstand this. I did for the longest time. This verse is not saying that God tempts you to sin. No, God does not tempt you to sin. Rather, what this phrase means is, God, would you keep me from things that will destroy me, will hurt me, will harm me, and others? And if you see me starting to walk down a path towards that, God, will you lead me away? Don't leave me. Don't let me go down that path, God. Lord, I know that temptations, and I also know that the evil one, the designs and plans and lies of the enemy, they are headed my way. Not tomorrow. They're headed my way today. So God, would you lead and would you deliver me? God, will you lead and you deliver me? Will you give me the strength I need to face whatever I'm facing today? That is what Jesus invites you to ask about. That's what he invites you to ask about. He invites you to pray for your needs so provision may come in. He invites you to pray for your sins so that grace may come in. And then he invites us to pray for our battles so that deliverance may come in. And if you want to pray prayers that work, you go and do the same. Go and do the same. You can say the words of the Lord's Prayer, or here's a prayer that I pray a lot in my everyday life. Father, will you give me everything I need to be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do today? But whatever you choose to pray, it's not a line, it's a way station. It's a way in. How long? You pray until you've prayed. Pray until you've prayed. Until you're not just leaving with requests, but with a heart that is actually dependent, forgiven, and strengthened. Until you've not just moved God. That happens immediately. He already knows and he already cares, but until it's moved you as well to dependence, forgiveness, and strength. That's the third way station of prayer, and figured we would just end by doing that. I don't think you need a lot of practice on this one, but let's just, if you want, let's just pause for one more second. Join me in prayer. And let's just bring our needs to him. Our provision that we need, the grace that we need, the strength that we need. Just take a moment and bring whatever you have to him and ask. Ask away. Ask your Father. What you need. Father, will you give us everything we need to be who you want us to be and do what you want us to do this day? We know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the third way station of prayer right there. And that is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught them that. How do you pray? You pray like that. Do you want, church family, my friends, do you want to pray prayers that work? Whether you're someone wondering if God is there or you're a longtime follower of Jesus wanting to go deeper in your relationship with him, do you want to pray prayers that work? If so, this is your invitation. Try praying like Jesus did and see what happens. No matter who you are, I dare you to try. I dare you to try praying like Jesus prayed and see what happens. Because I'm telling you, it works. I'm telling you, it works. Not just because it's in the Bible, because I've tried it. It works. And that's actually what I want to invite you to do this week. I would love to invite you to make this more than a sermon. I would love to you to step out perhaps out of your comfort zone and pray with me, not like in person, but like pray with me this week, 5 days this week, if you can. Not a rule, we're not checking up. But I'd like to invite you to pray with me. And it's simple. Here's all you got to do. Pick a time, pick a place, and pick a posture. Pick a time, I'd suggest morning, but it can be any time. Pick a place where you can be alone, private, car, office, room, closet, whatever. And then pick a posture. You can sit, stand, open your hands, close your eyes, whatever you want to do. Just pick those things. That's it. And then pray. Pray through the three-way stations of prayer. Start with connect. God, you're my Father. Will you father me today? Then move to surrender. Father, I give you everything and everyone to you. And then end with asking, can you give me everything I need to be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do today? How long do you pray for each one? Do you know the answer yet? Yeah, you pray until you've prayed. Well, you connect until you feel connected. Surrender until you're more surrendered. Ask until you've asked. If you get stuck on one of them, just stay there. If all you do is spend some minutes in the morning connecting with your Heavenly Father, you are killing prayer. 10 out of 10, high five. There's no prayer, expectations, there's no pressure, there's no failure. So let's pray. There is a way to pray that works. So let's do it. 5 days, 15 minutes, three parts. Because I'm telling you, God is real. He's really there. He really loves you and he wants to meet you in prayer. There's a way to pray that works. And I want, and Jesus wants, and I'd wager you would like to experience all of it. So Jesus is saying, come on, weigh in with me. Weigh in with me. Let's go. We're gonna end with a song today. And you can use this time to respond however you want. You can stand and sing. You can pray what we learned to pray just now. We're gonna have our prayer team down front. If you'd like to pray this prayer with somebody or have them pray it over you, we would love to pray with you. If there's something we can pray for you, you or someone, come down front. If you'd like to put your faith in Jesus, give your life to him today, we'd love to do it right here, right now, come down front. But let's use this time to sing and respond and pray as we finish today.